Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawbona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant?
Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of our cells, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about self, cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our hosts. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Hallelujah, greetings in the spirit of Wayo and Yah Shalom. Wayo means we are one. Yah is Hebrew sacred name for God, and Shalom means peace. I'm Evangel Mamadi Love Yah Nubian, and I'm inviting you to join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Wisdom with Mamadi. Call in number 515-605-9325. Wisdom. Women in support of daughters on motherhood preparation. And spiritually speaking, men who do the will of Yah are mothers too. As a Montessori educator, author, activist, international award-winning poet, and ordained minister, females, I want you to say farewell to all things, seen and unseen, that prevent your potential. You bring forth life and give birth to babies. A kid is an animal beast with four legs. A child is a human being person with two legs. Facts can change feelings, but feelings cannot change facts. A mother teaches love. Love is the arm that reaches out and holds people, places, and things together. That's what Wisdom with Mama D is about. Join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Call in 515-605-9325. To share your wisdom and love souls into shape. Remember, mother's farewell. If you don't, your child won't. And if he doesn't, society is abused. Females, you are global transformers with the power to change this world. Use it.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
And we are live here on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. I'm Naima Latif, sitting in for Dr. Debbie Green. And we want you to enjoy this day because so many of us are struggling with feelings of guilt, grief, sadness, despair, and we want you to overcome these feelings because so much of it is unforgiveness of the self. This is often what keeps us from moving forward, holding on to the past. And so today, we're going to take you through the process of forgiveness of yourself. So many of you who have been through marriages that ended, or perhaps had children that didn't turn out the way you hoped in terms of their aspirations and achievements, or maybe you have made mistakes in life. Maybe you've done the ultimate thing that was shameful for your family, a pregnancy out of wedlock, or a crime you committed unthinkingly, maybe influenced by friends who didn't use the best judgment, and maybe you ended up doing jail time. Maybe you're still carrying the feeling that you are somehow unworthy because you've made these errors in judgment in your life, or perhaps you simply were not in a state of maturity at the time that you made these mistakes. And looking back, you can see the error of your ways, but you're still holding on to the feeling that you're somehow damaged because of it. As long as you feel on the inside that you're unworthy, then you will continue to create conditions that prove to yourself that you are unworthy. You'll manifest things, and you might think it's bad luck, but it's coming from inside of you, your belief that you're not smart enough to keep this position you've been given, and so you lose it. You get called in one day and told that you're not performing up to par, or feeling like you're not enterprising enough to maintain the home or apartment that you're living in. And you see yourself getting behind in bills and utilities, and next thing you know, you have to move back in with your parents or a friend or a relative, and you're feeling badly about yourself. The feelings within you are created by your own thoughts, your own belief about yourself. So often when we're feeling badly about ourselves, then we're manifesting the things that reinforce our reason for feeling bad about ourselves, and that is that we're feeling unworthy. So we want to give you a moment to think about that for a bit. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about what makes people feel guilty and who planted those thoughts in your head that whatever you did was unforgivable. And how do you change that thought process? How do you change the thinking that makes you feel that what you did was unforgivable? We'll be right back after this quick break. We want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. And if you want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll be glad to open your mic and get your thoughts. And if you're on our switchboard now, whenever you get the inspiration, simply press 1, and we'll know you have a thought you'd like to share. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
And we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, and as always, we appreciate all of you who join us every day, every week. Our dear Dr. Debbie Green is handling a family emergency right now, but we pray that all is well with all of those who are part of her circle. And we certainly do appreciate the wisdom that she shares. One of the things that Dr. Debbie has constantly helped us to understand is that we tend to carry the things from childhood on into adulthood. And these things that we carry tend to affect our state of being. And many of the ideas planted in our minds as children manifest in adulthood, and the voices that we heard as we were growing up are like recordings that we replay in our own head. So if we have been raised by parents who tended to be a bit critical, we're going to keep replaying those words of criticism throughout our lives. Whenever we make a mistake, whenever we do something that is less than what we feel is our best, whenever we disappoint ourselves, we're going to hear that parental voice saying, "You're so absent-minded. You're so hard-headed. Oh, you're so stupid." Sometimes our family, in their desire for us not to repeat their mistakes, will say harsh things, and who they're really talking about is not us. They're really talking to themselves. You know, it's interesting. I had an opportunity to be part of the celebration of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with our dear brother Mark Shaheed last night, and we talked about a lot of the tips on parenting, and I'm recalling some of the role plays he and I used to do and helping parents to see themselves, seeing the wrong way to handle something and then the right way to handle something. And, you know, and I love acting. I really do. And I love playing characters. And I often played this really awful spouse or I wanted people to hear themselves, hear how it sounds when you speak to someone that way and what it does to their spirit. Because we often, in our intention to try to keep our children away from making mistakes, we'll say things to them, hoping that they will work hard not to disappoint us. That's a very common parenting method, but it's a very destructive parenting method. And what it does is instill in the child a feeling of unworthiness and a feeling of fear that they're going to lose our love if they make a mistake. And then they're going to hear those harsh words that make them feel bad. So in our role plays, I would often be that awful person so that people could hear how it sounds when you speak to someone you say you love in that manner. And then, of course, we would role play the correct way, in which I would then have a loving, soothing voice, a reassuring voice, so that people could hear that this is what love sounds like. It doesn't sound mean or threatening or angry or insulting. Love is a healing vibration. It's a healing sound. And when the sound in your voice is harsh and hurtful, no matter how much you think you're conveying to your child that you love them, what you're really saying to their subconscious mind is, I don't love you. You're not good enough. And these are the feelings that we carry with us throughout our lifetime. So if our children make mistakes and we want them to not make these mistakes, we need to lovingly explain to them who they're hurting by the choices that they made, and to reinforce in them that the one thing you're here on this earth to do is to do no harm. Do no harm to yourself or others. Make sure that the decisions that you make are not causing you harm or harm to anyone else. You can get what you desire and get what you need without hurting someone. And if you reinforce this very important ethical principle, then you can, in fact, use this as a teaching tool when they've done something inappropriate. And you can point out to them, this is who you hurt. You came home with a bicycle that we did not buy. And you're saying you found it. Well, you don't find people's things on the street. That means someone who owned that put it there believing they could come back and get it. So you have a new bicycle in your mind, but you've actually hurt someone by taking what was theirs that they expected to come back and get. So this was an incorrect decision. And yes, you may desire a bicycle, and we may not be able to buy you one right now, but you have to give the one back that you so-called found, because this is something valuable that belongs to someone else. We love you, and we want you to treat others the way you would want to be treated. So when we finally buy you a bicycle, you wouldn't want to leave it someplace thinking you're going to come back and get it, and you come back and it's gone. That would hurt you, wouldn't it? So give the bicycle back to wherever it was so that the person who left it there can come back and find it. There are so many ways to teach ethics. Yesterday on our men-only discussion, the men talked about lifestyles, family lifestyles, how to reinforce this, how to teach ethical behavior, how to have values. And this is something important that we understand. Our children need to feel loved and accepted. And they need to feel loved and accepted for who they are. Now, I'm going to throw out something there just for the sake of conversation, because I want us to examine the things that we think and believe about each other and the things we create in our cultures that cause people to feel as if something about them is unworthy. There is a growing rate of suicide among our young people for various reasons, most of them having to do with feelings of failure in life. Now, if you're less than 20 years old, you haven't lived enough life to fail. But if they have had experiences where they've been told that there's something wrong with them and they're feeling unworthy of love and they've been treated as if they're unworthy of love, the pain of it is too much for them to take in their young lives because they haven't lived enough to live through a painful experience to know that it doesn't last forever. It's a season, and then the season changes. So one of the things that we'd like to discuss today, and I'm going to go to our phone lines and open the mic, because this is a crucial thing that we as a society have to look at and see from a higher perspective so that we can respond appropriately to those in our human family. We're living inside of bodies, bodies that give us sensations, and it allows us to experience life in this physical form in such a rich fullness. And we have intense feelings, physical feelings that become mind, body, spiritual experiences. Our body processes it as a biochemical response. Our mind processes it and creates an emotional response, which then feeds into the biochemical response. And when we have something wonderful, such as the feeling of love, it is a beautiful biochemical response. And it can put us in a state of physical bliss. And we want to feel that. Some of us want to feel that bliss through the body sensation. And we don't know how to create it from our internal thoughts or the feelings that we share with others. And so somewhere in our childhood, we discover how our body parts work and what they create in terms of physical sensation. We discover our sexuality. And when we make this discovery, we discover that we can create feelings that trigger the biochemical response of pleasure, ecstasy, bliss. We discover that our bodies have the capacity to create physical feelings. Now, what do we do with that discovery? We're going to go to our phone lines and talk about that after we take a quick break. Because one of the issues that creates guilt is sexuality. When and with whom you are exploring the possibilities of your body's capacity to create sensation. The act of reproducing life has been made one that can bring you to heights of ecstasy because life should be created in a high vibration. Life should be created in a vibration that brings the soul into being in a high vibration of joy and bliss. It doesn't always happen that way. But that's how it should be. Because life should be lived in a state of joy. And yet, because of our lack of understanding, we often create conditions where life is brought into being in a state of shame because we have created conditions where people who are drawn together are not able to be together because society says they're not yet ready. And so if they experience this bliss, this joy, this unity of mind, body, and spirit that the act of sexual intimacy brings, and a soul comes through this act into physical form, if the mother and father are not married, in the cultural sense of the religious institution and the state in which they live has sanctioned and approved of their union, then the mother is made to feel guilt. And so instead of her carrying the child with the high vibration of love and acceptance that a soul needs to have, she's carrying a child with a feeling of guilt. And often what happens when parents discover a child who is young, a teenager, who is carrying a child, they will say those words that make this young, pregnant mother feel shame and guilt. And this is the real reason why we see abortion. A life that was going to come through you is pulled out of you because you don't want to experience the feeling of being made ashamed that you experienced this union with someone and you didn't have the approval and the confirmation of your religious institution and the state in which you live for your relationship. So therefore, the soul that was going to come through you has to be sent back. Does that make sense? But this is what happens as a result of guilt. So we're going to take this quick break, and when we come back, we're going to explore the thoughts that go into some of our religious teachings and some of our explanations of sexuality, the reason why so much of what we carry as guilt comes as a result of our beliefs about our sexuality and our understanding and preparation for its expression. And we've got several on our live line. We'll go to our phone lines after this break. And if you're listening online or watching us on the Female Solution Facebook page or YouTube channel, feel free to write in your comments, and we will gladly share them with our listening and viewing audience. And we will be right back after this quick break. So we want you to stay with us. I believe we've got a little glitch in our internet, so what I'm going to do is go directly to our phone lines, and might be a little bit of a delay. 773-487, as soon as you hear unmute, then our system has connected with you. And, of course, if you are joining this discussion this morning, we ask your patience, but press 1 so that we can open your mic and share your thoughts. One of the things that often plagues our young people is how do you handle your feelings when you approach puberty? And we need to be able to help them usher into puberty with the expectation that their bodies are going to awaken in a way that they need to prepare for. But we need to learn how to do it without the indoctrination of guilt, because they need to develop a healthy self-awareness. How do we do that? So we're going to go to our phone line. So I believe we've got Kufi from Chicago. And Kufi, if a commercial suddenly starts playing in the middle of your speech, just pause for a moment, because our system is having a little bit of a hesitation. But we're going to go ahead with our conversation. So area code 773-487. I believe our dear friend Kufi James is on Grand Rising. Unmute your phone. Can you hear me? Are we having sound issues? We can't quite hear you. Area code 773-487. All right, our sound might be disrupted here. Well, whenever your sound comes in, feel free to speak. And those who are on our switchboard, feel free to press 1 so that you can join our conversation. We are live on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show, and we are on Facebook and YouTube, the Female Solution YouTube channel and Facebook page. So for those who are listening and watching, feel free to write in your comments, and we'll certainly share them with our listening audience. Our main challenge when raising our children is to give them a healthy sense of self. Who am I? And what is my purpose? And when our children come through us, our job is to discover who they are and to guide them into becoming the highest version of themselves. So our task as parents is to develop the self-esteem that allows us to see them as separate beings from us, so that we are not putting our feelings of inadequacy onto the child. Many parents are still carrying their own feelings of failure, and they fear that their child is going to repeat mistakes, repeat errors in judgment, repeat bad experiences. And so their intention with the things that they say is to protect the child. But what they say actually creates a feeling in the child that they are destined somehow to make the same mistakes. And how many women have said to their children, don't be like your no good father? That's a cutting thing to say. And one of the things that the men brought out yesterday in the men only discussion was don't bash each other. We do that in our disappointment. When a relationship ends, people feel the pain of loss of love and the hurt and the feeling of unworthiness. And so what they are expressing is their hurt. And so what they say to the child is really an expression of their own hurt. This person made me feel unworthy by leaving me. And so they say the things to the child, not realizing the child is also part of that other parent whom they're bashing. So if you're putting down half of me, you're putting down me. How can I feel good about myself? So I'm either going to feel bad about myself and still love the other parent, or you're going to make me hate the other parent who is a reflection of me. And in the end, I still end up hating myself. So these are habits that we must unlearn. But first, recognize that this is what we're doing, and recognize why. Part of the earth experience is experiencing the various emotions that relationships bring and mastering the capacity to love in all circumstances. That is the reason for this experience in this earth school, to master the capacity to love in all circumstances, to understand when others are acting out of pain, to understand when others are acting out of lack of knowledge, to understand when others are acting out of indoctrination into belief systems and believing that what they're doing is correct. So often when our parents say things to us that are hurtful, it really is because they don't know any better. And so what we must be able to say to ourselves is, forgive them. They know not what they do. It's difficult to have that wisdom when you're 6. You may acquire it by the time you're 60. But ideally, somewhere in between, you can develop the capacity to understand and forgive those parents who acted out of their own hurt and said things that made you feel unworthy. So we're going to try this phone line again.
Okay, here we go.
All right. Yes, we can hear you now.
All right, yep. Kufi J.
Yes, Kufi. Grand Rising, thank you for joining us this morning on The Female Solution. So now we had a, I think his call dropped. All right. Well, as he calls back, and those who are on our switchboard, feel free to press 1, and we will gladly open your mics. We're still having some system issues. Okay, here we are. All right, let's try this.
Oh. Okay. I think my face turned off the phone there.
So now yesterday's discussion was quite interesting. And I know that many men struggle with issues, especially having to do with sexuality, because you have a society telling us do things a certain way or you're not a good person. And sometimes, as a matter of fact, I know we've had past men's discussions, and several of the men on the panel mentioned the fact that they had children out of wedlock. And it was a difficult experience because the society, of course, says, oh, you awful person, you got somebody pregnant and you don't have a job, you're not married. And yet this might have been someone that they felt great love for, or at least thought of, but they hadn't been prepared for that role of husband or father. And they suddenly found themselves in that role and condemned by maybe her family and his family because they were not married. But there was love, and there was a discovery of the magnificent thing that happens when two people become intimate. And so how does a man deal with that? And that is the case, and maybe that first love that they had, they might have been too young to know a lot of things about how to form a family, and so as a result, things fall apart. How does a man deal with the guilt of that when he feels like he's lost his family?
Well, just like you said, you're listening to who? Other societies. That's the big elephant in the room. I got my own society. Create your own society so you can listen to your own society. Because that word wedlock is a created word from an evil place. Wedlock, that sounds like witchcraft.
Wedlock.
That sounds like a demented word. You know, I grew up as a child and I heard that. They wedlock. And then, but you couldn't live with our brother. You couldn't live with your girl without being married, while other races and nationality were getting together, living together, building, and that's how they got a family. Wedlock is a false word, and I condemned it, because if you look at marriage and the sanctimony of marriage or the ceremony, what happens after the marriage? How do you consummate a marriage? Through having intercourse, right?
Right.
That consummates the marriage, right?
Yeah, supposedly
that's consummates. Oh, right. So my society, my society says, if you're having sex with someone, you're actually married to them.
And well,
we
that's
should not go
for the laws. You know, when you think about that, way back before all the establishment of all of these structures and societies, that was the marriage, your consummation. That was it. You didn't need paperwork or a ceremony or
I'm just thinking. I never seen two deer get married, a ceremony for two deer. I've never seen two dogs who making love have a ceremony to get married. So, yes, other societies put their control mechanism saying, this is how you do it. And I believe it's for somewhat of a control. You have to sign up with the state and to be officially recognized. We'll recognize you as a couple. What are you talking about? Who are you? That sounds like God. You gonna recognize me as a couple? See, you take back that street and said, no, I recognize myself. See, that's the difference between me and somebody else. I don't need nobody's recommendation or to recognize me because I know who I am. I'm unindoctrinated. There is no lies in my mind. This is why I'm a very powerful person. And wherever I go, I bring peace because I'm indoctrinated and I live the truth. So recognize yourself. Even when I grew up and my parents, you know, I was a good guy. And, you know, if my mother spanked me, I'd go, look, why are you hitting on me? You better stop hitting on me. I ran away from home one day. She put her hands on me. Me and my brother were fighting, and I hit him, and I knocked him out. And so she whipped me. I'm like, well, he hit me. Well, you knocked him out. I said, I don't know. I was going to knock him out. That was just a reaction. So I ran away from home. Got to the corner. They were like, get your butt back here. I came on back. Because, I, you know, thinking for myself, we don't need no one's record. We have given our rights and our, what do you call it? We look for somebody else to approve us. We look for everybody else for, oh, do you approve this? No, man. And that's the issue. And see, right now, in America, especially with our people, and I'm trying to get us to a higher level. We're at a state of mind of complaining. We're at a state of mind right now of judging. We're trying to bring us back down. And it's not going to happen on my clock. A lot of brothers and sisters out here are trying to bring us down to a lower frequency. Huh? Go ahead.
Hold that thought for a second. I'm going to bring another person into this conversation as we talk about changing the perspective on what is right and wrong and who should be in control of those very personal decisions. Because yesterday, of course, you all talked in detail about how to promote a certain ideal. And the idea is to look at who gets to judge what is appropriate and how do you respond to someone when they don't like what you're doing. Such as you say, someone says, well, you shouldn't be living with this person. You didn't get authorization from the state. You didn't have a ceremony at the church. You weren't pronounced a couple by a priest or a pastor or an imam. So, therefore, your union isn't valid. How do we, if we say we no longer want to follow these belief systems, then who should have authority over our unions? Let me bring in another voice here. Area code 863-816. I believe we've got our brother, L.A. Davis from Florida.
Yes, it's me. Good morning to all. Rain rising. I want to co-sign on what Coop is saying. I'm going into a little bit of more detail from my point of view with this word wedlock. Number one, it's the way it is. It's a guilt attempt from the state and the church, who I consider the original gangsters, to extort money out of me. The marriage license is basically a recent contemporary tool for governments to extract money out of your pocket, number one, and number two, to regulate your relationship. I, for one, I don't need the government or the church to regulate my relationship. I was good enough to get involved with a relationship without you. I don't need one with you within the relationship. The next thing is, well, I already said it allows the government and the state to regulate your relationship. It also, like I just stated at the beginning, it's a revenue center for the state, the marriage license. If you get a divorce, the state comes back into the relationship. Somebody dies, the state, through probate, comes back into your relationship. All that, get the state, is none of the state's business, in my opinion, unless you go and invite them into your relationship through that marriage license. Even the church, pastor can get a marriage ceremonial fee, all kind of counseling fees, this kind of class. Both of them are making money on you. And then I'm going to land my plane on this, going back to the state. It also allows the state to set up family court, which is a billion-dollar industry. They're making money off your relationship, and the state comes back in and get more money out of you some kind of way through child support because it regulates your children that you have through that union. So I'll land my plane there. I'm not a fan of I'm a fan of marriage, but not a state-sanctioned marriage. Those are my comments.
So you should be able to find somebody that you care about, get with them, move in together, become intimate, start a family, and not have to have all of the paperwork, the ceremony, the licensing, all of these things that make you officially a couple. You should just be a couple.
You're officially a couple when you two say you're a couple.
Right.
Okay. Adam, Kofi, you had it right. Look, you don't see no goat, gorilla, deer, sharks in the sea. You know, Adam and Eve didn't have no marriage license. Joseph and Mary didn't have no marriage license. The commitment is between two people. The two people regulate their relationship. But once again, the marriage license is a contemporary, it's sort of recent. How can the government make more money from people? Well, let's come up with a marriage license. And if they don't, and in cahoots with the state, I mean, the state and the Pope co-signed on slavery. How crazy is that? That's how I look at marriage, the marriage license today. Anyway, I'm going to land my plane here because I get upset behind it.
Well, we're going to take a break in a minute. You know, we've got some other callers on the line, and I'm inviting them to join this conversation. I know also with us is the facilitator of the Marriage and Family Reconstruction Learning Labs, and Mark Shaheed has been advocating for marriage for a number of years now through his workshop. But many people are beginning to feel that the state and even religious institutions interfere with couples getting together because they create this situation where, like you say, you've got to pay money to various people, and then to decide you no longer want to be a couple, you got to pay even more money, and then there's the social stigma. You failed. You have a failed marriage. That's such an awful thing to put on a person who people decide they've grown apart. And somehow the stigma of getting with someone and then deciding that, you know, your union is no longer harmonious and you want to part, somehow having the state involved and your religious institutions involved, it makes it so intimidating that people are afraid to even get into relationships. So,
can I add a real quick step? Well, when a man goes down on his knee and gives a woman his marriage offer himself, he asks her, "Will you marry me?" And she says, "Yes."
Mm-hmm.
That's good enough for me. That's where it starts. That's the beginning of a marriage. That's sanctioned by yourself. Because this is how the state is really tricky, because if you have a relationship for, well, I think 9 or 10 years, I forget what they call that, but then now they can come in.
If you're together 7 years, you have a what is it called? I just have the word in my mind. But it is
common law.
Common law. 7 years.
They didn't creep back into your relationship trying to get in. Because again, now they're gonna the whole game is to get you divorced, split up your money, and get your money. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
You gotta pay out. You gotta pay your lawyer, and it becomes a way other people get paid for your relationship. But we're gonna take a break when we come back. Let's explore that further. How do we take the guilt out of the natural process of people coming together? Because so much of what we are guilty about has to do with relationships that either produce children without a license or split apart or whatever the case may be. But are we creating more unnecessary interferences? And then are we, with our belief systems and our structures, causing people more problems rather than helping them solve them? So we'll be right back after this quick break. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press, and you're ready to listen. You are on Facebook Live. To write in your comments, we will share them with our listening and viewing audience. We're talking about guilt today, and this is Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. Of course, our dear sister Dr. Debbie had to step back and deal with a personal emergency, but we certainly pray and send them good thoughts so that all things be well. And we'll be back after. But we want you to. Hey, don't stray away.
Oh, man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out, and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456. And schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul, whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. Take advantage of the deal of the day. Go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
We've created a structure that prohibited it from happening And then we condemn them because they wanted to experience love anyway. So, Kofi, what are your thoughts on that? And I know that probably Brother Mark will be calling back in to express his thoughts. But I'm looking at ways we can focus on love and not guilt. We can help people have honest relationships, and we can prepare them for relationships. We can prepare them for healthy relationships that provide a stable atmosphere and a loving atmosphere for children. And we can remove the barriers to the growth of those relationships. Because the reality is that you're going to develop at a certain level. The human body hasn't changed its schedule. Around 13, 14, 15, you come into puberty. And your body awakens in a way that is preparing you to create life. We have so many things we've put in place to try to keep that from happening that we have not focused on how to teach people properly how to love. So I want to throw this thought out there. All of the things that you can go around the world and find all of these various ways people have been trying to keep people from expressing love until someone gives them permission to say, we're ready for you to experience love. You know, in China, for years, they would break the feet of female girls. They would bind their feet so tight that they didn't grow properly, so she couldn't wander and, you know, possibly get into some relationship, an unmarried relationship. So that was that control. They stopped that at the beginning, of course, last century, but that was a very common thing. And then they had, you have so many places around the world where the belief system is that, you know, women need to stay away and secluded from society because they might get involved in a relationship and end up pregnant without having had the ceremony and the approval of the state. You have some societies where, you know, they will arrange the marriages. Well, you can't marry until we pick someone out for you, and then you're going to marry when we say it is. And it might be someone you don't really like or know or even be emotionally attached to at all, but this is how your family prevents you from getting pregnant by somebody they didn't want you to get pregnant by. So there's that cultural reality. You have all of these various things, and none of it is teaching people how to love. It's just preventing them from having sex because, as you said, that really is the consummation of a relationship. But we don't teach them how. We're focusing on preventing them from expressing their sexuality, and we give guilt for that instead of shaping it and molding it so that it is a natural occurrence and it is supported when it occurs. So this is the challenge that we have. If we're going to change the thought that the state and the religious institution has to approve of you finding a mate and forming a union before you can do it, then how do we protect the rights and interests of the two people involved? Do they need all these entities to be in their business, so to speak? Well, let me go back to our phone lines, and I encourage, you know, those of you who are on our switchboard, press 1, and we'll get your thoughts. But now the question comes up for those say, well, no, marriage says that this person honors you. Marriage says that your intimacy is responsible, that you're agreeing to be responsible for whatever your intimacy may produce. Marriage says that you're going to be responsible for this person's life that you are involved with and the lives that you create together. And it's official because the state in which you live has a document that you agreed to saying that you are now going to form a family. So without any of those things, Koofy, can a person still fulfill all those requirements without all these other entities deciding that they have an official union that can be respected by the society? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, my life has been a little bit kind of a little odd, a little different because my parents, as I grew up, I was just outdoor hunting and building, making tree houses and club houses, you know, growing stuff. And you know, as I grew as a teenager, my mother, she used to always say, when you going to have a baby? When you going to have a child? Well, I ain't thinking about that. I didn't have a child until I was 40 years old. So that's why I have such a demand on my privacy and what I feel. I remember my son had a child until I was 40
years old.
Right.
Okay.
So you know, wasn't nobody getting in my business. At that time, I'm 40 years old. I'm established. I'm a mature man, and I know the game out here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and my girlfriend was well, take out a life insurance. Go ahead.
Once you had a child, was that a conscious decision that you made with the woman you were with? You said, okay, we want to have children together. Was that a conscious decision, or did it just happen to manifest after you'd been intimate, and then she's like, okay, well, I'm pregnant. Was it planned or unplanned?
Well, I dated her for a year before having any kind of intercourse. Just try to put a ring in her finger, but
what was your next thought? What was your next plan of action once you found out she was?
I was like, oh boy, she's not thinking on my level as far as saying, I don't want these people in our business. Well, we ain't married, so you, blah, blah, blah. She just, you know, I'm in control because we ain't married. I was like, see? You see? This is what we have been indoctrinated to think. You got to be married to have some type of rights over my child. What does that sound like? I got to be married to you. I was over there every day, bringing her food, water, herbs, helped her how to breastfeed the babies when she didn't want to, gave her herbs for that. You can use sesame seeds, crush them down, make them in milk, that'll produce your milk. I'll give her that. You know, I was there. But like I said, at the end of the day, she was indoctrinated to think, well, you're not married with me, so you really don't have a position. And I was like, that sounds so crazy. You know,
okay.
If we had a dog, if we bought a dog in our home, or we had a dog, don't we both play a part in taking care of that dog? Dogs have more rights than dogs has more freedom than people. You see what I'm saying?
So let me ask you this question. You all were living together during this time?
No. She was with her parents. I was living alone, and then I offered to move her in with me. But like I said, she's like, we not married. My parents are telling me not to do it. She's indoctrinated. So maybe the suggestion with this show is a build off getting yourself unindoctrinated by some of those false thoughts. That the centerpiece of those thoughts is wedlock. Let's remove that word. Let's remove that whole theory. You know, and if a man has a child with a woman, don't X him out. You know, and then she started taking money from the state, and I was like, oh boy. And she said what you said. I can get more money from the state than you giving me. I was like, oh, boy. You know what I did? I'm 40 years old. I didn't argue. I pulled back and said, okay, going to be the player. I'm 40 years old. I can handle this. Go ahead.
How did your family respond to the fact that they had a grandchild through you? How did they respond? And how did they bring her into the family as a, you know, the mother of their grandchildren? How did they respond to her and your children?
I didn't take her to go see my parents. I took the children to go see. Now we have a one-on-one relationship with the child. And actually, they already knew what was going on. Are you living with her? No, I'm not. She's with her parents. Oh, okay. And it's like, okay, James, be careful. Stand back. Play your position. They already knew what I was going through because it's been going on for years and years and years in our community. Same thing. If you're not, you know, so-called, if you're not married to a girl and you have a child, then you have no rights over your child. That's crazy. And that makes us mentally, that actually creates a mental illness. My daughter told me the other day, Daddy, Mommy going through some things. She's really hurt. I'm like, yeah, because, you know, she made a bad decision. She know I'm a good father.
So now let me ask you this question.
Let me say this.
We're dating, and you all decided, okay, we're going to take our relationship to this next level of physical intimacy. Did you both feel that we are consummating a relationship? We are a couple. This is our commitment to each other, this act here. Did you both have that understanding, or did either of you have that understanding?
I was at a level with her at that time after a year trying to see whether or not she could be my wife. But when I gave her a ring, she didn't want it because it was only worth $500. Some crazy stuff. So I had actually broke up with her. I said, well, I don't think this is right. And I broke up with her. And then she came knocking on my door. And then so some other things happen. You know, when you get caught up in emotional stuff, you know, you feel like you need to lay down and have sex. She was a virgin, so she was having a lot of emotional issues. And I saw a psychiatrist after that, and I said, I had a baby with a virgin at 28 years old. He said, next time you meet a virgin who's 28, he said, run for your life. He said, do you know what she has to say? Do you know what she has to go through to hold her? So what I'm trying to get at, men, when you start dating a woman, you have to unindoctrinate her by all these old little Negro hymns and Negro societies that blossom, that control us through the churches and through the states and through all, you know, whatever was going on back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Unindoctrinate yourself on that, and then a lot of men don't ask a woman that if we have a child, will I be able to be a father? Ooh, that's a heavy question to ask a woman before you even lay down with her.
Well, you know, that's I'm listening open. To your story, and I'm hearing a lot of the errors in judgment that people are making, which caused them to then have the conditions that they have. I know yesterday you were all talked about promoting the heterosexual lifestyle, which in my opinion is, you know, the two people whose intimacy can produce a child. And if that is the case, then that is an awareness that has to be had by both parties. Once we have been intimate, that is consummating a relationship in which we can have a child, even if you're using birth control, because I'm going to tell you, if a soul wants to come through you, the birth control ain't going to work, because that's, you know, it's the will of the person who's coming to this earth through you that's going to overpower anything biochemically you might try to do to prevent that once you have chosen to be intimate, because you're creating that energy vortex that makes it possible to come through you. And so that being the case, even though you weren't sure that she was ready to be a wife, and she was not emotionally ready to be a wife, or she had standards that she thought marriage meant, both were drawn to become intimate. So I'm going to put this thought out. Twins that were born to you, they chose to be here. And they
right.
were going to be here whether you all married or not. That was their decision to come through you for this experience.
Oh,
so,
I knew she was pregnant. Afterwards, I knew it. I said a prayer. I knew it. But, like, see, what you just said, when us men talked yesterday about heterosexual vibration and lifestyle, you went straight to marriage. You included a woman in that. And what Kareem did, I think a sister called in, and she wanted to make a comment. He said, sister, this is nothing, this is exclusive for men. I like that. Okay? And that's, see, when we men talking, women always try to get in and kind of put us at odds with one another. That's been the case for a long time. What y'all men doing? What y'all men talking about? What y'all men? See, a woman always trying to get in because, see, if we get to a point where we have standards, guess what? A woman has to lift up her standards to even get our attention now. See what I'm saying? You know, I used to look at women all the time. Look at women, oh, wow. But as me, as an older man, I might glance at a woman and don't give her no attention. And she's like, excuse me, you know. So this is what's happening. Heterosexual men, we're getting together saying, get these women out our business because we have some things to talk about and how we're going to lift our standards up because we're being dogged out. We're being less of, we're being put down as if we are nothing when we know better. When we know that back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, and 2000 up until now, when a woman wanted to heal herself, where did she go? Who did she go listen to? She went to church to listen to who? A man give her some emotional stability. And all y'all women on the internet, you scrolling on my page, looking at what I'm doing. You scrolling on everybody, looking at all what men doing. But then at the end of the day, we ain't nothing. Stop it.
But, you know, one of the reasons,
you understand what I'm saying?
Well, you know, one of the reasons why we created the men-only discussion on the fourth Wednesday of every month is so that men could talk to each other without women interjecting their thoughts, so that we could come to a better understanding, because many of us don't understand how men think, and we don't understand the impact of what we do is having on them. And we also don't understand the pressures that they're under because of the way the society has defined manhood in such a way that sometimes is interfering with the development of manhood. Like, we don't always understand how a man feels when he falls in love. We don't always understand the sex drive. We don't always understand his reasoning. And we don't understand what it feels like when a man is asked to be a man and he's being raised in a household with females. And so way of how they want us to be, but if they're at odds with the father of the son, then they really can't shape him in an image based on the absence of it. So many men are struggling with identity because their father is absent. And you mentioned mental illness. A lot of the emotional distress that's leading to mental illness comes from being in this very contradictory situation where you have a mother who's angry at the father of her children, raising the children, and saying things to the male child to make him feel like he's unworthy of love because she's carrying the anger for his father. And she doesn't realize that this is what she's doing. So, and we've got some other calls on the line.
I'll give a small comment on that. I mean, with my son, he loves his mother, and he talked to me. He kind of talks through her at me, what you do for a living, how much money you get, all of it. I said, brother, look, love your mother. It cancels all of that little garbage she's putting in his head. Love your mother, okay?
Well, that's a very powerful thing you said. And hold that thought. We're going to come back after the break. I'm going to open the mics up when we come back after the break. We're going to talk about that whole economic thing. And is that a barrier to our forming relationships? And if our relationships are based on finance and not mutual love or partnership, but the finance that comes with status, is that really an artificial way of assessing a person's worth? And where is that coming from? And do we need to change some of the ways we think so that our relationships are built, are based on the right spiritual principles rather than artificially created economic principles? And if we're going to change it, how do we go through the process of changing some very heavy indoctrination and judgment of each other? Well, we'll be back after this quick break, so stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Oh, man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456. And schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
And we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. We're going to go to our phone line. First, let me share a couple of statements from our Facebook Live family. And Carolyn Hunter says, I'm a woman that gave birth to four sons. I'm such a man's cheerleader. I appreciate the real men in this world. Four sons. Wow. And Carolyn says, I make that my business to never turn my son against his father. We were married and in the same home for 11 years, and now we're not together. I encourage him to love on his father. Well, that is wonderful, Carolyn, and that is commendable. I believe that you can still be family and still have love, even if you decide to no longer be a couple. And this is why I say we have to change something about our belief systems about marriage, because we make it difficult to get in and difficult to get out, and it shouldn't be. Love should be simple. Love really is not complicated. You love someone, you want to be with them, you want to build a life together, you want to have plans together, you want to enjoy each other's company, and you trust each other enough to become intimate and have children. It didn't used to be this complicated where everything is a dollar figure, and if you don't have the money, you can't live. Does that really make any sense? It shouldn't be this barrier to love that we have made it, that we've allowed it to become, like every other thing in our lives. We've institutionalized it to such a degree that it doesn't work. It does the opposite of what it's supposed to do. Just like the healthcare system just keeps you sick because they're making money off of your illness. They don't want you healed. They want to keep treating the symptoms of your illness, so they actually prolong it rather than healing you because it's a business. It's the same thing with our relationships. You have to pay these people in order to have your relationship be official, and then if you decide that you're going to split, you have to pay even more money to get out of it, and you're constantly paying people for your private decisions. Why is that? Why have we made family life so difficult when it could be easy if we would just agree to honor our feelings, agree to honor our union, and if we choose to part, agree to continue to honor the person who is the other parent to our children? Can we do that? Well, let's go back to our phone lines and let me go to area code 773-801. What's up with that? Can you hear me?
Can you hear me? This is Mike.
Yes, I can. This internet is acting crazy today.
The wrong number, right?
Yes, 779-80. Yes, Maika, yes.
Well, greetings, Grand Rising to all. Interesting conversation. You know, one of the problems in operating outside the state and the state's laws and rules is that people have to be principled and honorable themselves. And very few people have been taught. It goes back to what Mama D was saying yesterday about character development. Very little character development has gone into our education, whether at home or in the schools or even in the church. So that honor, being principled and honorable, seems to be kind of difficult for people. Like one of the things I've recently concluded and found about women is when things don't go their way, they become hostile. And from a hostile position, you can't really do anything with that person. They can't hear. They're no longer conscious. They just, their thing then is become revenge and I want to hurt you and those activities. But if you can get a principled woman who has mastered her emotions, then you can work with that. That's somebody who you can work with. But women have to learn how to eliminate this hostility that doesn't change anything. It just makes things worse. But I was contemplating, like, I agree with that when the couple agrees to be married, that that's when the marriage really begins. Now, I think there were good intentions in the state in setting up the laws that have been set up in terms of marriage. However, even within the confines of unprincipled people, they don't work again. But one way that a couple could get married because marriage is a contract, first of all, a legal contract. It can be
right.
When you get married by the state, it's a legal contract. But it's basically a contract between two people that they decide to legalize. Well, there are other ways that you can legalize a contract and keep it in your control, and that is you get a contract, a business contract. You make your marriage a business contract, and you include within that business contract a living trust, and you can put time limits in, and then you can also put periods of where you will reestablish, because like you could do a business contract, say for 2 years, and then say after 2 years you can renew it, you know, if you choose to renew it. And you can do things like that, but you have to be creative, and that is possible. And but the other thing that happens is, like, you do have to, people honoring a woman in a marriage contract is saying that I'm going to take you before my parents, and they're going to honor our relationship, because it's also a community engagement also. So the couple have to engage in a community celebration where the community knows what the commitment is. Otherwise, you have, from a woman's perspective, with her man, with her husband, other women would be vying for him on a daily basis, because, you know, women are desperate for men these days because they've always felt there's a shortage. And there is a shortage because most of them are in the prisons. And most of the time, most of the reason for being in the prison is the hostility of women driving them there. So that's my own personal position. But we're not getting the men out of the prison and helping them to rehabilitate so that there are plenty of husbands for the women that are out here who are in need of companionship. But anyway, that's how I see it. I see you create your own contract. You create your own system by which the public comes to know that you've made this contract and why you've made it and how they can be in support of it. So that's my thoughts on it.
You know, that's an interesting observation you make about if a couple is recognized, you know, and it is important that if you say we are a couple, we are a family, we are exclusive, and you honor that, then it's important for the family to honor that relationship.
Yes,
and
it is.
Contract with the state makes it legal in terms of whatever the legalities are for a business, you know, such as tax filing, because that's really what it comes down to. Your business with the state has to do with the fees you pay as an entity, which has to do with taxes, basically. So that's what that contract is with the state. With your family needs to honor the contract that you have with that person, meaning that they are honored as part of the family. The children are going to be nurtured as part of the family.
Mm-hmm.
That's the agreement. So what Kubi was talking about, which I see happening in a lot of families, when there is a relationship that happens and they don't have that contract with the state, give them that business obligation of, you know, tax filing as a couple, and they haven't gone through culturally a ceremony saying we are now family, and it is not something done publicly in a house of worship, then the family may tend to not honor that relationship. As he mentioned, her parents did not see him as her husband. They saw him as the guy who got her pregnant and therefore did not encourage the daughter to move in with him, even in a common law relationship. So that had an impact on how the family was defined. It was not defined as a family because of those things that were missing in that relationship. And, you know, you mentioned a lot of the men that are in prison, which, of course, is very disruptive to families. And I've over the years seen many, many, many families disrupted because someone's doing time in prison. They have children, but they can't function as a husband. And, you know, the mother, she may try to hold on for a while. She might end up with someone else. He can't do anything about it. That's disruptive. Or if she tries to keep the relationship, she brings the children to see the father until he finally gets out. I've seen that. But we do have some other things in our society that disrupt family life. And yet I have a friend who her husband has been doing a life sentence, and she's been his faithful wife, going to visit him, raised the son, everything, and they've been a family even though he's in prison. And the fantastic son. But what do you suggest that we do to enhance the ability for people to form those personal contracts and have the families respect those relationships above and beyond whether or not they have that contract with the state? How do we get back to strengthening, first and foremost, the family ties?
Well, that takes maturity, and as I was stating earlier, very few people have been raised to be mature with strong characters, self-esteem, high self-esteem, and principles in terms of being truthful and loving and kind and just. All that goes into the and taken into account when you're dealing with demonstrating to your family that you're serious about what you're serious about. I mean, if you go to your family and you're telling your family, this is my husband, and he's saying this is my wife, and we want you all to treat us as husband and wife, beyond the fact that the church and the state have not agreed to it, though we have taken legal means for establishing a state of marriage within the state, but it's our choice how we did this, then you know, that will override into the lives of the family. I remember when my first pregnancy, I wasn't married. I told my father tried to pay the man to marry me. I said, you can pay him. I'm not interested in marrying him. I wanted a baby, and I decided to have a baby. And I chose who I wanted the father to be. And I was so happy that the fact that I was pregnant, that my happiness rolled over into everybody's life who met me, including my family and his family. Everybody took on my joy at being pregnant. It was the most interesting experience. I mean, it was during a time when people looked down on women who were pregnant and not married. But I changed the purview of how people saw me and saw my baby by my own inner joy, which spilled over. So I'm saying the same thing is possible if a couple comes together and they sincerely love each other and they can share that love and people can feel that love and it's real. They can honor that. That can be honored. But that takes real character development and maturity in the people that has to be seen also and witnessed in those two people. You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I think one of the things that we see in families often, unfortunately, is the judgment of a woman who gets pregnant and is not married. I'm going to open up another microphone, but before that, before you respond, Viata, I want to look at the thought that we have around sexuality. It's like, you had sex before the church said you could do so. You awful person,
right.
You sent
right.
Going to hell. Where is that thought coming from? I'm going to throw a word out here, fornication. What the heck is that? That means you had sex before the church before the church gave you permission. Does that make any sense? That someone else has
to decide. Well, the Bible says thou shalt not commit adultery. It didn't say you can't commit fornication, unless I've misread it. I don't know. Somebody, if I misread it, I need to be, you know, somebody need to pull my coat.
You know, I mean, I want to just examine that thought, because that's the thought that creates the guilt. Someone having sexual intimacy, the act itself is wrong unless the church says you can. Where did that thought come from, and why are we accepting that thought when sexuality is a very personal decision between two people? And other people should not have the right to decide when you are ready or qualified. It is a, as you said earlier, a personal contract between two people. How is it that we have allowed an institution to decide when we can be intimate, and if that institution hasn't given permission, then we're made to feel guilty as if we've done something wrong and God is punishing us? Why have we accepted that thought? So, Viata, I've opened your mic. Viata from Florida, our Friday host.
Grand Rising, Grand Rising, Maika, nice to hear your voice again, and Naima and Kufi, and really interesting discussion, and I agree completely. You know, the religious institutions of our day have caused a lot of imbalance in our thoughts and behavior, so we can blame religion and so many other things, but I wanted to just touch on your topic of guilt, because we're going to have a lot of people dealing with guilt as the truth comes out about this pandemic that we're in, because more and more we're seeing people, the governments across the globe, letting go of mandates. And I'm going to talk about this a little bit tomorrow, as well as unsaturated. My topic is about the danger of unsaturated fats tomorrow on health and well-being. But on your topic of guilt, I'm dealing right now with my grandchildren getting symptoms from wearing these masks. So they're still, their parents are still letting them or allowing them or making them wear masks in school, even though in Orlando, the mayor has given parents the option to not let their children, to opt out. It's going to be a lot of dealing with guilt about this whole pandemic that we're all going to, I think especially on the Female Solution, we're all going to have to help people get through the guilt and the moral crimes that are going on right now because of it. Because children are smart. They're, my grandchildren are smart. All these children are smart. And once the truth comes out that this mask was not needed and so forth and so on, there's going to be a lot of guilty parents feeling guilty, and as well as children are going to have to overcome the lack of trust they're going to have for adults and the people in authority. So forgiveness, I think you touched on that. This is going to be the key going forward. Forgiveness for ignorance, forgiveness for making decisions that are harming people, and the consequences, and then forgiveness that we didn't pay attention to the Creator's guidance and wisdom. So it's all in divine order, but at this point, I'm just seeing all the harm that's being done because we're following mandates and because we're not allowing people to have the freedom of choice in some matters. So that's what my thoughts were today. And thank you for the topic, and hope you'll all tune in tomorrow morning as we develop this topic and more of the health news that is going to give us empowering energy.
Thank you so much, Viata. And I'm hoping by what you've said, because I want people to see a pattern here. You have institutions that are striving to control things that really are personal decisions. You have institutions that are trying to control your life and are actually disrupting your life.
Yep.
And it's the same pattern, personal, intimate decisions, decisions about your body that only you should make. Institutions want control over decisions about your body. Why are you giving them control over your body? Your body belongs to you. It's your decision how you're going to use it, how you're going to take care of it, how you're going to keep it healthy, how you're going to keep it well. It is your decision only, not an institution. So why are you allowing an institution to make you feel that they must have control over your body? So I agree, Viata. As people realize that they've been lied to and they've been convinced to do something that ultimately is not in the best interest of their bodies, they're going to feel anger and guilt and betrayal. But
yeah.
It's going to take some time before they get to that point because there's disbelief that people that you trusted with your life would lie to you. There's disbelief, so it's going to take a while for them to get past the disbelief to understand that it's an economic incentive that is motivating them, just like L.A. was saying about the whole marital structure, all these various people you have to pay. It's got nothing to do with keeping you loving each other. It's an economic structure. And if we can realize that this is what is motivating so many institutions, then we can dismantle these institutions and rebuild them based on the right intentions. Let me see if I can squeeze in a couple more callers, and thank you so much, Viata, and we're going to be looking forward to tomorrow's show. So let me go to 706-202, Grand Rising. I'm trying to memorize all the phone numbers, but my brain isn't as sharp as it used to be. I'm trying to improve it. So is this Kwame? 706-202? If not,
yes. Salama, can you hear me?
All right, yes, Kwame Sunhorse. Yeah, I'm getting there. I'm trying to remember about,
right.
I'm trying to remember 100 phone numbers, y'all. I'm trying to sharpen my brain, so I'm, you know, I almost got it.
All right.
Yes.
Greetings. I'm Kwame Sunhorse, sitting here on the stolen land of the Muscogee Creek in Georgia. I came in a little late, but I heard Maika when she was talking, you and her were discussing fornication. And the whole thing about having that intimacy being under control, we have to look at something in the language that we use, and it's really prevalent in the young people now. Most young people, every other word comes out as F-U-C-K.
Yeah,
and in them,
you, that?
because
that
word, but, right, but the word in itself came out, and this is what, and I've got to look up and find out where I remember it from, but I remember it was done during the Crusades when the knights were out and they were married, they could go and get a prostitute because the king branded the women with F-U-C-K, fornicate under the consent of the king.
Wow!
If you found a woman that was branded with F-U-C-K on her arm, you could fornicate and wouldn't be committing a sin against the church. And so that was the way in which they were able to pimp women with the consent of the king by putting that marking on her, F-U-C-K, fornicate under consent of the king.
Well, Kwame, hold on a second. Because our Blog Talk channel is about to go off for those who are listening online. If you want to continue this conversation and you're listening online, you need to call in right away, 515-605-9325, before the switchboard closes. I don't usually do this, but I just have to. So we're going to give at least 15 more minutes over. And those who are online, we're going to get to your calls, 312-671-773-487. We're going to open your mic back up. But, I mean, this is a revelation I just need to explore a bit because this is some history that I didn't understand, and I want to make sure everybody who uses that term understands what they're saying. So we're going to continue this discussion. We're talking to Kwame Sunhorse of Georgia. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. We're going to play our ending in 15 minutes. We need to extend the time a little more. I want to get some of these calls and responses to what we just heard. That acronym. Those of you who love acronyms, now you got a new one. So I'm going to put this on the screen, Brother Kwame. And for those who are watching us online, feel free to write in your comments so that you can have them shared with our listening and viewing audience. So now, say that again. That was fornication under consent. of the King. Okay, so I have put that on our Facebook page.
Check your phone.
I'm
check your phone.
Right.
Check your phone.
This is what that means. So now explain again, somebody that you
check
can, is this like
I
a
just
prostitute?
Sent it to you. What
oh,
the
okay.
King, what was happening during the Crusades, the king knew that the knights were out fighting for the church. And some of them were married, some of them weren't, but they were men, and they would want to have sex with women while they're out doing in other countries doing the work of the church. So the king made it possible that they could use, they took prostitutes, and they would brand them with F-U-C-K. And I just sent you a blog. It was in the Huffington Post.
Wow.
I mean, I think
wow.
You're right. Do you see it?
Yes. I'm going to see if I can pull it up on the screen here. Yes. Oh, my gosh. That is
And we
that
use
is,
that language. We use that language subliminally. It's programmed into the DNA genetically. So your memory of that past time continues that process of using that word.
Wow. So knowing what that, so basically, because, you know, during wartime, soldiers do all kinds of things, you know, rape, murder, everything.
Right.
But basically, so it's like, okay, since you're going to be out here having sex, these are women you can have sex with, and you won't be.
The church gave you, church.
Consent.
Right. The church gave you permission to fornicate.
Wow. That is just outrageous. But I think it's important for people to know this, because this has become a very common term and people throw it around. And it actually, it dishonors the act of intimacy in a major
right.
way. And we need to know the energy of the word we're using. So I'm going to open up a couple of more microphones.
The word sex, when you're talking about having sex, and that means,
mm-hmm.
and looking at it as a spiritual energy exchange. It's just like some people say, well, I'm celibate. Celibate means you're not married. Doesn't mean you're not sexually active. Abstinence means you're not. And that those are, and this, the language that we use in saying, okay, I'm going to be celibate. Okay, you're not married. Okay, that's cool. But that doesn't mean, abstinence means you do not have coitus. Coitus, and most people, you ask them, what is coitus? Coitus means sexual intercourse.
Mm-hmm. So spiritual energy exchange, what does that imply is happening between two people, if they're having a spiritual energy exchange?
It's because that's creating a spirit, and the ultimate thing of having an intercourse between a man and a woman is to bring forth another life. It's not to give yourself, you know, and releasing cortisol or drugging yourself,
I mean,
with that.
Not the purpose of necessarily, but you know, on the other hand, because you have people that are like past menopause, past, you know, childbearing age, and they're still engaging in intimacy because that is a bonding act between the two people. So it might not necessarily result in a child being born, but it will cement a spiritual bond between two people.
Right, and you can have intimacy, and what the word really says is into me see. How do I love me, and how do you love you? We can inter-exchange our touch, our tantra. We can touch and feel and exchange energy without having to have the part of the intercourse in having to do that. Because you can foreplay and bring a woman to her total fulfillment, and she can do the same thing with a man without even having to cross that gate.
So where did the, and maybe there's some church history somewhere, but now you've got people who are fornicating under consent of the king, and you have that, and then you and branded with the, you know, the F, U, C, and the K. Where did the thought come from that sexuality in and of itself is something condemnable and shameful and something that if the church didn't give you permission, then you are wrong and going to hell? You know, hell, which...
It was... Dr. Clark used to give us the story. You could tell the greatness of the people by three things: land, water, and women. And because you have a bountiful of land, you can grow and you can provide yourself with the necessary things that come from the land. Water is because water is sustainable. It has memory and consciousness. It helps you to grow. Women is because you can reproduce yourself if you have an abundance of women. So if you have those three things, you have a great nation. If you are people that have lacking and come out of places that do not have that bountiful of women, and you're beating each other over the head, stealing each other's woman, you're going to make it so you will be able to look at how you control what you do with your women and your land and your water. And so you look at the nation of people that have created that lack. And then you look at the bounty of the people who had abundance of that, and you see the difference in where the mentality came from.
So it's about control. Control of reproduction.
Yes.
Control of who can reproduce. So all of these things, the indoctrination of guilt regarding sex, it really is about control of women and the capacity to reproduce, because your children represent your wealth. And so if you don't have control over the reproduction, you will not have control over your wealth. That's what the fear is. Because anything that's out of order is usually the foundation of it is fear. So it's fear that you will not have control over the reproduction of your women and therefore your wealth. That's where those ideas came from. Is that what happened?
Right, and this is how a people came to be in a certain way, because when they came into a land of bountiful abundance, they began to see and be wanting to control and take, because the land in which they came from didn't give them those three things that they could have, the bounty that they seen others have. So they came in and with the force and constructed a belief system and saying that the creator of their understanding is to say that you can't do this, 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 and this. Because when Moses went up the mountain, he knew, as being a priest in the time of Kemet, he knew the 42 laws in which a woman made that says, I have not. But then he comes down and he says, now, thou shall not. You can't do this, but I can.
You can't do this, but I can. How many have we seen that happen in various religious groups and governmental groups? You can't do this, but I can. So it's about control. This is like what Beata was just saying about the medicine and everything else. It's about control. Control over the body of someone else, because you represent my wealth. That is at the foundation. So let me just get a quick statement before we wrap up. Minister Plump and Brother Kufi. Okay, you know, Brother Kwame just shared something that just blew my mind.
Yeah.
Think of that acronym that everybody's been saying that we know is a vulgar description of sexual intimacy. But the fact that the idea of it being wrong to be intimate and unless the church says so is really rooted in control, economic control, and therefore the indoctrination of guilt.
You know,
coupling.
When
how do we overcome that? How do we create something
two ways,
better than that belief
yeah.
system?
Well, there's two ways to look at life. I own the land, or the Creator owns the land, and I'm just a landlord. So if I own the land, I'm going to create these ridiculous laws, and I own the people that are on the land. Going back to what Mike was saying, fornication and adultery doesn't deal with sex. If you go back and read the Bible, it says you fornicated against me. There were adulterous people who were against me. In other words, you turned from another god and served an evil god. You fornicated me. It was talking about you turned from nature and started living unnaturally. That's really what fornication is. It doesn't have nothing to do with sex. It has something to do with you turn from nature to something unnatural. No. So go back and read that word. God says, you fornicated against me. How can I fornicate against God? Then you start serving another god, none of your ancestors. And so we live in a day where this mandate and this little pandemic, that we gonna look back at it, it's a bump in the road. It's gonna be a bump in the road. I haven't bought one mask, and I saw the ending. You see, and so now people are gonna take their own control of themselves, and you're gonna start seeing people prosper like no other way. They had their chance. Oh yeah, they did their work. You know, I knew from the beginning what it was.
I do believe that this pandemic, this period is an opportunity for us to awaken and to see all the different systems that have been created to try to keep us under control. And it's an opportunity for us to dismantle all of thought processes, all of these indoctrinations that keep us putting our personal decisions into the hands of other people, giving other people power over our bodies, other people power over our intimate personal decisions, other people the right to judge us and decide how we can live and what we must do and what relationships we can have honored. This is our time to undo
courage,
all of that brainwashing and indoctrination, and realize that we have been acquiescing to the handing over of our personal power to institutions controlled by people who just want to make money off of us. Like you say, if the thought is I own the land and I own the people on the land, then I can do what I want to do to those people. But if the understanding is the Creator owns the land and I am just here as a steward of it, as one who is borrowing it, and grateful for the access to it, but I must share it because no one owns anything, then I also must honor everyone else whom the Creator has also gifted with this free land for us to provide for ourselves. But none of us have the right to control or own anybody. We're all free. We're born free, and we all that we have is the responsibility to do no harm.
Let's create our own systems. Yeah, Vian had a great idea. The green world, I think she came up with that, a green solution. We have to create our own systems. Don't just,
absolutely.
Nothing's going to happen until we do it. Create our own systems.
Create our own system. Well, I definitely agree, and I thank all of you all for staying with us for these last 15 minutes to complete this thought. Minister Plump, you had a thought that you wanted to share with us during this afternoon.
Yes, well, Yashalom, Grand Rising, and Assalamu Alaikum, beloved. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, all right, we win. And when I say that, I mean God and the people win. And that's what I got out of all of this today and every day. It's God's will only, which, you know, is He that created he and she, which promoted us to be family, which is family is complete with the children. So I wanted to share the thought that I do marry brothers and sisters because I seen my parents married, my grandparents 50-plus years, my father and mother 40-plus years, and myself 30-plus years. However, it's a spiritual community healing, which is number one, that we must reflect on the fact that Mayor Washington said we must plump the whole community. So I come up with an equation.
Ask you this question.
Yes, ma'am.
Minister Plum, let me ask you this question. Since you said you marry people, and, of course, you're a minister, and you can form the ceremony, at, which basically is just a public declaration as a way to honor the person that you've chosen to become family with. So once you do that, then are they specific vows that people have to say, or do you let them create their own vows of what they're promising to each other?
Yes, there are, you know, in the vows, I think that the man and the woman, I think Mama D kind of did that and some other people, Dr. King and his wife, you create the vows. And it's really, like Sister Maika said too, it becomes a business agreement. So you have understanding, and understanding is bliss. That the man is really the protector and the producer of the family and the well-being. And to me, every man should be, and not to say that they're not, but anyway, I think that every person is a spiritual human being. And once they realize that they are a spiritual human being, that they feel and know beyond a shadow of a doubt, they have a commitment. And that commitment could be, to me, right, to serve God and to serve each other would be a righteous way of life. And it's God that always helps us. And it's the opposition, which would be wrong, always hurts us. So we have to... It's a good thing that we got going now, and that's a part of the Harold Washington Foundation, is educating the whole community. According to what Mayor Washington said, we must prompt the whole community, and we'll continue
well,
to do that.
We thank you, Minister Plump, for being that person who does the education. We appreciate you so very much. So for those who have been watching us on Facebook Live, yes, we're into an after show. You know, this keeps happening. This is kind of how this show has grown, because we started out, we were just a half hour, and then we had to continue to an hour. We had to expand because people, you know, still had thoughts to express. And then we end up expanding to a second hour because there's just not enough time to really address the issues and create a solution. And now, you know, we have the after show on Monday, and every now and then we do an after show. So we're kind of getting to the point where we're going to end up being 3 hours every day. But that's okay, because our goal is to create solutions. So I want to thank you, Minister Plump, for being a part of the solution. Now let me ask this question, because I do believe that there is a better way for us to organize our families. And I think if we were to create a private contract that people could have, and maybe people like Minister Plump and others who, you know, want to perform a ceremony can, you know, let people create their vows. But I think we need to remove the state as a necessary structure until people feel like, you know, okay, financially we're ready to get involved with that structure. But right now, we don't want this to be a condition where other people are making money off of our decision to part if that should happen. So I think the contract that we make should even have the terms of dissolution, just like when you form a business contract. You have the terms of dissolution, and sometimes you might even sign the contract with a company, and they say, we agree to, if this agreement is dissolved, we agree that we're not going to court, there's no lawsuit, this is how it's going to be resolved. And I think if couples were able to do that, so that within their union, their agreement, their contract, it's already determined what the steps are if they choose to part, and it already says, okay, we're going to co-parent, whoever's making the most money will financially assist the other. We're going to keep our family ties, the in-laws will still be involved in the lives of the children because the children are connected to all people, and so we're not going to disrupt their lives. I mean, Maika, do you think it's possible to create that kind of an understanding so that people can take back control of their personal lives? We can get rid of the guilt that's associated with intimacy if it's not approved of by an institution, but instead it's the two people that are choosing to honor each other. And we can give them the tools they need to remain in control and independent with their lives so that there's not this fear of marriage because you've seen how horrible it is and the money that you have to pay and how you can go to jail if you don't pay your child support and all of these things that have been so distressing in the lives of people that have done the so-called legal marriage and now their lives are in shambles and the family's broken. Is there a way we can create a structure and an agreement that people feel like they're in control and they can honor each other and their families can honor the people that they chose, and if they dissolve it, they don't have to pay court fees. They can simply follow the agreement. Do you think it's possible we could do that?
Of course. We have to construct these things that will take us from under the control of others who really don't understand our circumstances and conditions. So, yes, just like I was speaking earlier, we can have a business contract with our marriage, and then we could put some other legalities on it, like a living trust or, like you said, a dissolution clause, all that's possible. And then if you want church-sanctioned wedding, you go to a minister to sanction your marriage from the perspective of the church, but you're not caught up in the legalities of this marriage system. I guess my questioning for marriage ended when they legalized gay marriages. That's when I kind of dropped out of that whole system.
The interesting thing about that, because, they talked about, promoting the heterosexual lifestyle in yesterday's men only discussion. But the interesting thing about the homosexual community in saying, look, we want our unions to be honored and respected by the state. And so there was a big push for that, with the idea being, and we want to have churches to perform the ceremonies. We want the religious institutions and the state to officially approve of our unions. So the thought is, it's not legitimate unless someone else says so, and we want someone else to say so. But the thought that I have is, if you honor the person that you are with, regardless of what other people think about it, do you need the other institutions? And one of the reasons for the push for that from the LGBTQ community was for whatever legal benefits are perceived that a legal marriage comes from. Just like when you get ready to do business as a business entity and they want to see your corporate papers and all that sort of thing, let me see if you're legitimate. Well, things like when someone is in the hospital and a person needs to make a life and death decision for them, or a person needs to speak for them if they're unconscious, you can't do that if you're not the legal spouse. So this is one of the things that they were pushing for that for. And then also whatever tax benefits come from declaring someone as a dependent, they're your spouse, that you get. So the legal rights that you have being a spouse is what the push was for, to legalize it. So now that brings us to another thought. If couples decide, look, we're going to be a couple, we're not going to go through the state system because we don't want the state in our business, so to speak, or making money if we come into a conflict, and we're going to honor the spirit of our union, whether it's in a church service or not within a church service, how can we make sure those couples still have the same legal rights as a married couple? And can the contract that we create give them the legal rights that they deserve to have as a married couple? Baba Kwame, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, and I'm looking at, when did marriage become a part of a culture? And what we're looking at is okay, what we have now today is church and state. How is the state and the church, if the church sanctions your marriage by performing a ceremony before whoever, and the church sanctions that you are married, why do you have to have a license from the state to have that union? And that's what the state does, and that it's going against church, because church is sanctioning a man and a woman coming together. But the state says, we want to be a part of that union, so anything that you accumulate or anything that you have is going to be sorted out through the state. They're really saying is that you just sold your union to that state, or to this government. And so it's a way in which you look at, where did this all start taking place? Because the merging of cultures before we got into this whole thing of having to have a license was that you had a ceremony before the people saying that these two people union together, because what you really did is you merged tribes and you merged nations together to create a larger family of bringing a man and a woman together, because her people, her family line, and his family line come together. Now they are one whole family.
Mm-hmm.
When did we change this and allow someone else to say, we can come in and get some of what you all have merged together and we want part of it? That's the question. It's cheaper to keep her. You only pay $2 to bring her home. You're going to pay thousands to get rid of her.
That
song
is true.
That was the song. You only pay $2 to bring her home, and you're going to pay thousands to get rid of her.
So this is why there has been a decline in marriage, because that's a financial reality. Whereas if it had just been an agreement between two families, you know, and even in, and Brother Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, he's still on the line, even the dowry in Islam, you know, a man gives a certain, you know, amount in his of his wealth when he takes on a bride in Islam. But I think within a certain period of time, if the marriage is annulled, I think she has to give it back. I'm not sure on how that is, but if they've been married for a certain period of time, he can't ask for it back. That's just her money, whatever wealth, whatever you know, land, whatever he gave to her.
And
so
Texas, I mean,
you know, the idea is. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, and even with licenses, if you cohabitate together over a certain amount of years, some states sanction that you are legally married and entitled.
Right.
Yeah, I think 7 years is the common law, I believe, in Illinois. So, therefore, if you part, then you are entitled to, I think, half of their income or half of their your possessions, that sort of thing, because you have been, you know, in a common law way, you've been living together, sharing expenses and that kind of thing. So I think it's important for us to decide to take back the control of our relationships and to decide that they must be based on love between two people who are agreeing, who are making their own personal agreement to be family. And without all of these other institutions having power over whether or not you can be together, whether or not your relationship will be honored, whether or not you have rights to take care of your children, all of these things need to be put back into the hands of the people so that the people, the families, can choose who is family. And when we can agree to treat each other right, then we won't be taken advantage of by institutions that are merely seeking to make money off of us. And this is not helpful, and nor is it stabilizing to our society. It's actually disruptive, and this is why the families have fallen apart. So, well, we thank you all for staying for this after show. And join us tomorrow, as Viata said, another edition of Health and Well-Being. We are going to look forward to learning more about how we have allowed ourselves to be controlled by institutions that don't have our best interests at heart.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, xiexie. India, zanyaba. Japan, arigato. Korea, kamsahamnida. Russia, spasiba. Germany, danke. Poland, dziękuję. France, merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, geret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.